All right, guys. Thanks. Sorry about the beginning. I won't. We'll. I'll put a sticky note. I'll put something. I'll put something in the show notes. Push record, you twat. Hey, y'all, welcome back to another episode of the 423 Soccer Pod, the podcast that CFC built. This is Jim, aka Chet Aguner, and I've got Shabby and Todd on the call. So I have to admit something, and you may hear some giggling while I admit this from my colleagues, Shabby and Todd. this is the second time that we've done this because someone, I'm not going to mention any names, forgot
it rhymes with them
record. And so we lost the first 40 minutes or we didn't lose it. It was just never there because I didn't record it. So we're going to kind of, because it's getting late and because I'm an idiot, and the second part of the show went really, really well. And I think you're going to enjoy it. So we're going to kind of focus on that part.
It was better than just listening to us, I'm going to admit.
Yes, it really was. So we're going to focus on that part. Well, quickly, just why don't we do this? We had a match against Albion, and we went over. We scored 5 goals, guys. Just like a quick overview of that match, and how does it make you feel? What do you think with the progress of the team, and what did you think of that match? So Todd, we'll start with you. What did you think?
We handled business. We scored early, which is our MO, and then we just kept piling them on, and it was over before it started. And I was happy that you could get back home with a result and no injuries.
Absolutely. Shabby, what did you think?
Yeah, no, it felt fantastic, right? How can you ever complain about a 5-0 win? I think the things to point out, you know, Todd was saying no injuries, like we'd like to not have any more because the line's getting thin. We've got a few people out, and Mumu's, you know, absence, you know, caused a change in our usual starting lineup, but it still worked out for the best. I mean, it felt like everybody got a chance to put the ball in the net.
That's right. 5 goals from 5 different goal scorers. I don't know. I don't remember everything about CFC's history. Somebody's going to probably, who's listening to this, tell me. I don't know if that's ever happened before. It certainly hasn't happened as a professional team. But having 5 different goal scorers in one match, I'm willing to bet that if it has happened before, it hasn't happened very often. And for a team that really relied heavily on one person or maybe 2 people last year for the goals, we are spreading those goals around early in this season, and it's really going to make us dangerous with goals and assists coming off the left from Taylor. Of course, Marcus got his goal. Right, Todd? You keeping track?
Yes. He's definitely on pace for the goal bonus.
Yeah, for his goal bonus. So Todd's going to keep track of his goal bonus for us. And then, you know, whoever is playing off the right, you know, Mumu plays off the right, he scores 2. Damien starts on the right, he scores. But he didn't score this game, though, did he? No, he didn't score this game.
No, not this time.
But I think there's only one worry. I don't know. There was one change at halftime where So went out and Stripling came on. I haven't gone back to see if there was any issue with So late in the first half. So we're not aware of any injuries, but there was that halftime sub, and hopefully that was just tactical or you know, So has played a lot of soccer early on throughout the preseason. So maybe it was just a little bit of rotation that considering we're up 4-0, you can rotate a little bit.
Absolutely.
So we've got Flower City. I think we got a little payback coming to them for what happened last year at Finley. So I'm expecting the guys to come out and play really well. Probably the same front, the same starting 11. We'll see if Mwape is healthy. Do you guys have any guesses for you think any changes, or you both think it's going to be the same 11?
There's nothing about Rod's style that suggests there'll be any kind of like surprises.
Yeah, I don't think so either. So I'm hoping for a great win. It's the game's at 7:30. The weather looks like, at least last time I looked, it's supposed to be really, really nice. So come out and support the boys. And then Wednesday, Birmingham Legion. We're playing a team from Birmingham, Alabama, but we are not playing them in Birmingham. We are playing them in Tuscaloosa. If you want to come down and get there early, I can give you a tour of the campus. Todd, are you up for that? You want me to give you a tour?
No, I'm good. Thanks.
You sure?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If you do get a chance to go down early, you need to find Archibald's or Dreamland. Archibald's has better ribs. Dreamland has a better sauce, but they're the best ribs in the world, and I will not hear anyone say anything different. Go down to Archibald.
But, you know,
have you ever had Archibald's ribs? The answer to that is no, you haven't. So I will, I'm going to go down early, and maybe if we have a tailgate, maybe what I'll do is I'll go to Archibald's and get some and bring them to the tailgate, and you guys can tell me to my face how awesome they are. there's some nonsense going on with Birmingham. Who knows if we're going to get tickets or if we just walk in. It's a smaller venue. It's a little Bush League, I think. But they're streaming. So, Todd, I think you know
how they handle the whole thing is Bush League. I'm sure the facility's fine.
It's small. It's like 1,500. It seats 1,500 with some standing room. Of course, the facility is beautiful. It's on the campus of the University of Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Todd, it's enough of probably listening to us. Like we said earlier, you missed a 30 minutes of a wonderful conversation that will never be heard because our producer didn't hit record. But
that guy needs to be fired.
He needs to be fired. But the other 45 minutes that you're going to hear, I think went really well. And we are really lucky to have with us Coach Randy Douglas, the coach of the CFC women. So we're going to send it over to him, our interview with him, to talk a little bit about, you know, looking back at last year and also looking forward to this year. Since we've already interviewed him, and you all were there, anything these folks need to listen for or anything you were excited about in the interview, Todd?
Oh, yeah. Like when he kind of gave us a little insight as to a player to be signed later or a player to be announced and has basically already agreed. Yeah, that's a little bit of a nugget.
Yeah. Shabby, what about you?
I'm just thrilled to know that he is just as passionate about building the team as the fans are passionate about it being built. So this is good stuff. We're expecting bigger and better, and we expect it to continue every year.
Great. Well, I think that's enough of us talking about it. Let's go ahead and bring Randy on to talk a little bit about the CFC women's team.
All right. Now on the 423 Soccer Podcast, we have a very special guest. We want to welcome to the show Coach Randy Douglas, head coach for the Chattanooga FC women. Welcome, Coach. How's it going?
It's going well. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So, I guess you're kind of getting ready for the season.
Yes, we are getting ready for the season. May 12th is, you know, when I start expecting to see players roll in and having our initial meetings and a little bit of a kick around probably the next day. A week from, you know, that particular entry date into the players showing up, we're going to be hosting Nashville. So we have got to be ready.
Gosh, Nashville right off the bat. I mean, that's a tall order. I mean, but that has to be looming right there on the schedule. I mean, we're talking about a month away.
Yeah. And I mean, last year that was our opener on the road. And I felt like probably midway through the second half that I was beat over the head with a bat. And I talked to Coach Davidson after the match was over, and I asked him, I said, are all the teams this good in the division? And he gave me a pretty good answer. He says, well, he said, you know, Birmingham is or Alabama FC last year. He said they can play with us, and Knoxville can play with us. And I'm like, well, man, that only leaves one other team.
So, oh no!
I was just like, okay, you know. And he was spot on with that. And you know, because the Huntsville team, we did get the decision at home, and then we got the draw on the road, which was good enough to see us through. But yeah, I mean, I think that this year, just in my mindset, you know, okay, I know what we had to work with last year, and now going into this, yes, we only have a week to prepare, but hopefully they only have a week to prepare as well. And
yeah,
you know, I'm hoping that we can surprise them. I really hope that we can surprise them.
Well, Coach, you talked a little bit about, but what about just some overall thoughts on last season, the experience, the players that we had the chance to see on the field, and you know, your experience with the support and with the club. What were your takeaways? What did you learn, and what are you going to bring forward into this season?
Yeah, I think that it's always going to be a special memory for me. Last year, when we got home, we had the first two matches on the road, and then, you know, we got home, and I you know, was eager to see how this was going to play out. I didn't know anything about, you know, the North Alabama team, but you know, once you got I got there early. I got there real early before most people were there, before the players were there, because I wanted to take everything in. And then, you know, players started showing up and they were excited. And then you started hearing the supporters, you know, in the background outside. And then you started hearing them, you know, show up and with the drums and entering. And I mean, it was one of those, like, one of a kind moment, you know, once a lifetime moments for me. You know, just seeing that was such a different atmosphere from college, and just a really different atmosphere, you know, for me, period, being in charge of a team where we've got, you know, a lot of people that are going to be pulling for us. And so from the player standpoint, I'm grateful for what we had, because all of them, you know, gave up, you know, at least part of their summer, if not all, and some of them came from, you know, a long way away to take part in something they didn't know anything about, and I didn't know anything about, and they always, you know, gave 100%, and, you know, they were always ready to play. And we may have been, you know, talent might be not even all the time, but I will tell you, effort was always top notch. And for that, any coach would be grateful for it, and I was as well.
I had to tell you, as a fan in the stands, I mean, we could see it, and I know I was grateful for it. It made me so pleased and so proud to see a women's team out there again, and those women gave us their all. So I couldn't ask for much more last season. This season, I'm going to start to get greedy.
Yeah, me too.
Hey, Coach, if you could maybe, like, just can you pick out, and maybe it was that one moment where, you know, everybody was coming out, but was there another moment that stood out for you over last season?
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely when we went to Knoxville, the 2 days after we just got boat raced against Nashville at home, like, it was sad, because, you know, we were thinking, okay, we played Nashville when we weren't quite ready. Now we've got a wind under our belt, and we had played, you know, Alabama FC at home and gave them a good game. Now we've got Nashville again at home. We're going to do better. And we just didn't. And it was over 20 minutes in, and, you know, we just had to play that thing out. And then to ask that team, like, on Friday night, like, hey, we got to turn this around and we got to go play Sunday in Knoxville. And when we got there, you know, we talked in the locker room about, you know, why we do what we do, and, you know, that, you know, we have to show up today. And, you know, to see the players respond the way they did and come out with almost a draw in that thing, you know, everybody was sad afterwards. Like they really were like wanted to get something out of that and have something to show for it. Right. But for me, the 89 minutes of shutout, you know, I overlooked the goal at the end because we were dog tired and gave everything we could. And Caroline was standing on her head at the end, trying to just keep that clean sheet. And we just couldn't get there, but it had nothing to do with what kind of effort. And going forward, I'm like, I'm going to always point back to that. I'm like, that team did something that day, even though it was a 1-0 loss, you know, to prove that, hey, we can do some things that we, you know, sometimes don't think we can.
Coach, moving forward to this year, it's going to be hard because I know your roster, and we can talk a little bit about your roster this year. I know it's going to be drastically different probably than last year, but I know that heart that they displayed that night, that's something I hope that you can transplant right into this year's squad. But like I said, I know it's going to be a very different squad. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're looking at this year, like how many players you're going to be carrying?
Number of players on the roster, we're probably right now looking at 23 or 24 with about 4 to 5 players that are going to be starting out the year as reserve players. I think out of that group, I think I remember this correctly, that 9 are Division I. And then there are probably another 5 or 6 that are high level D2. And then obviously we've got, you know, a few NAIA players because, you know, there's some returners from Dalton State. And with Kaylee Burrell coming back to play from Grace College, that's an NAIA school. That I really think that, you know, we're going to give ourselves a better chance to get results this year.
So I know you talked to us a little bit right before we started recording about some of the differences in building this team than last year. What I know that, you know, last year you didn't have a whole lot of time.
When did you officially take over last year?
Yeah.
What was the question?
When did you officially take over last year?
Oh, yeah. I think I was named on April 14th. I think I had my first conversation on March 28th, 29th, something like that. And, you know, it was one of those things where I had to take a couple days and, you know, kind of process it. And then, you know, talk to my wife, talk to my boss, and then, you know, get back with Jeremy. And, you know, everything was, you know, we were good to go, but he said, you know, hey, we're going to wait and announce this, you know, and he gave me the date. And I know it was on a Friday. And I know I had a player signing for my point team that day. And, once it became official, I think noon, you know, my phone started blowing up. And then I had 2 players that had signed for point call me, like, thinking that I was leaving. Like, they didn't read the article.
Oh,
they just
no.
Saw that I was going to be coaching there, and they just made the assumption that I was moving on. And I assured them that, no, I'm not going anywhere. This is just something else I'm doing. So, but yeah, so I think assembling the team last year, you know, when I met with Jeremy and we were at a Panera Bread, I believe, in Rome, kind of like halfway between LaGrange and Chattanooga. One of the questions I asked him was, you know, who's on the roster? And this is like April, I don't know, probably like April 6th or 7th or something like that. And you know, officially no one was on the roster. And so I was like, wow, that's something, you know. And it's like, well, we got tryouts coming out like on the 28th, and I'm like, oh, okay, that'll be good. And they're going to be on Friday night and Sunday, and I, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, great, we'll have a lot of girls to choose from, and you know, we'll go from there. And you know, it just it didn't turn out that way, you know. You know, I brought my assistant, Jasmine, to help me kind of assess talent, and had not one thought in my mind about her playing. I just asked her if she would help, you know, coach. And, you know, we got through that tryout, and I was looking at her, I'm like, do you see, how many players did you really see here that are going to, like, have an impact? And, you know, we kind of agreed on a few, and I'm like, I said, but you know what? I can't really turn any of them away because I don't know if we're going to have any more or not. So we kind of have to see if they're going to stay or want to stay. And, you know, the subsequent tryout on Sunday just didn't give us anything. And so it took some more phone calls, some more, you know, contact with some college coaches. And luckily we were able to get, you know, a roster together. And it was, I mean, it was the epitome of ragtag when we got going. And, but, you know, I will say by the time we got into our third or fourth match that it felt right. It felt like this was, you know, a good experience for everybody, that they were playing at a high level, that they were enjoying themselves, enjoying the city, enjoying, you know, the fan support. So I just have a feeling that with the new players that are coming on board this year, that experience will be there for them as well. It's just, I think there's going to be a few more talented players.
So I would assume then that this year has been a little different in terms of timing,
yeah,
and the tryout and et cetera.
Exactly. And I think, even though I kind of didn't know for sure, because there was no, you know, contract talked about. I had one contract that ended on, you know, July 30th or whatever, 31st or whatever it was. So, you know, there was a little bit of an assumption, but then again, you never know. You know, you go 1-7-1, you're just like, maybe they need to go a different direction. Maybe I don't blame them if they go a different direction. So I had it in my mind like, okay, I just, you know, I'll be patient with this. I'm not going to bother anybody by it. But if I do this again, you know, I'm going to be going, you know, full, you know, both guns here blazing, going after players. And so Jeremy contacted me. Well, first he contacted me in November. And said that they need, you know, he wanted to talk and kind of go over some things about tryouts and stuff. And then, so in my mind, I'm thinking, well, that at minimum, I'm going to be a consultant. Maybe the coach. So I said, yeah, let's do that. And I think for, you know, what it's worth and whatever he was dealing with about looking to his next steps kind of took, you know, the focus away, because we didn't have a conversation that next week. And really we didn't have one until December 17th. And so I got a call while we were kind of on a vacation trip with family, and we talked for about 15 minutes and I accepted the job again. And then, you know, as soon as basically I got off the phone, I was in touch with, starting to get in touch with players again, because I had reached out to some during the college season, just players I had identified as players that could help us. And then, you know, started getting in touch with them and some others. And, you know, it just started, you know, falling in the right places. Now, I will say early on, we had some really good players that, like, were super interested and wanted to come. And I even got to the point where I got all their contact information, and they were not signed yet, but they were, you know, they were somewhat what I would call committed. But then, you know, something would happen and they contacted me and said, hey, I've had a change of heart. I don't want to do it. But by that time, we had already kind of started getting, you know, a lot of momentum with other players and other programs in Division One. And I kind of felt like, well, that's going to be difficult or not difficult. It's going to be disappointing that they're not playing with us, but we're going to have a strong roster. So, it happened that way. And one of the phone calls I did make was to Summer, because last season, I was in the stands for one of the men's matches on a night that we weren't playing on a Saturday. I think we were playing away on Sunday, and the guys were, had a home game on Saturday. So I saw her. I never had met her before, but you know, she looked just like Anna. So I was just like, yeah. I assume, you know, and she was hanging around Juan. So I was like, I think that's probably her. So we met and, you know, we had a little bit of a conversation that night and, you know, she gave me a heartfelt answer and it was honest as could be. And when we talked again, in early January, this kind of the same theme came up, is that, you know, she's in a situation where she may have one or two seasons left and she does not want to be, I think, playing with a team that's not going to be competitive. And I promised her this team is going to be competitive. And we've got some support players that are going to be around you that are, you know, going to help you get the ball. And I'm saying all this to her. I have never seen her play before. I'm only going by like what people are telling me. And I'm thinking, I hope, you know, in my back of my mind, I'm like, I'm hoping she's as good as advertised, you know, because I don't know anything about this girl at all, you know. And I'm gauging this on the fact that I know how Anna plays and what kind of, you know, Tasmanian devil effort she gives. And so I'm like, if she's anything like that and plays up top, I think we're going to be in good shape. But that's why I wanted her to come to tryouts. It wasn't like I was doubting that she was going to make the team. I just needed to see what she's all about. And I'm thinking we got 5 minutes into the scrimmage and I'm like, yep, we're going to be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. She still looked, she looked like Summer. So, I mean, it was fun to see her out there and it was a very happy moment to have her back in blue. It will be a happy moment when she takes the field in number 10.
In number 10, yep.
Yeah. Because of working with Juan. So, you know, as you look, you know, we've got some new teams in the conference, in the division, and what were your take on the scheduling and how the schedule kind of played out for us?
Yeah, I think that what we had last year was comfortable because, you know, we had no match that was over an hour and a half, basically. You know, you could argue that maybe one it was a little bit longer than another one. But in essence, Nashville's, you know, 2 hours at the most on a Sunday. Huntsville, you know, an hour and a half. Birmingham, probably right at two. Knoxville, hour and a half. So to me, it was like that's a fairly easy, you know, schedule for the summer and, you know, for the teams coming into Chattanooga as well. So my thought was that, okay, it's bigger and doesn't necessarily mean it's more challenging. It could mean that, but, you know, with new teams in it comes, you know, some of those growing pains that we went through last year. I'm kind of hoping that some of these new teams are having those same things happen to them. And, you know,
it would only be fair, right?
That's the way it's supposed to happen. And we, you know, we'll wait and see, but you know, we can't assume anything because Atlanta is a talent rich area. And, you know, the two teams that are coming into the league, no, they're going to have players, you know, so nothing is assumed. And I think that the one thing that I'm kind of happy about, if I can be happy about anything, is the fact that I don't think we play Charlotte Eagles on the schedule. I think that's the team we miss. Now we play Nashville twice. Yeah. So that's a handful and it's going to be a handful, but I'm glad we have them at home first, to be honest with you. I think that hopefully can set the stage for this, you know, ushering in this 2023 season, regardless of what the final score is, this game is going to be more competitive.
I have no doubt. And I think I may have told them, like, Nashville was the bar last year, right? Because they were so good. So I'm okay with just getting them out of the gate and, you know, showing them that, you know, this is not the same squad. Like, we're strengthening year by year, and, you know, your time on top is limited from the way I see it. Right. Maybe that's just me being like bullish on CFC in my club, but that's how I feel about it. Right. So enjoy these first season or two, and because you're going to fall where Nashville always falls to CFC, and that's unless they go out and buy themselves a WSL team, which is probable.
Yeah, you're right about them being the gold standard or the bar last year, because I watched some of their games after they got through with our division and to see how they progressed. And to be honest with you, they should have won the semifinal that they were in. And they dominated, and they were hitting the post and crossbar and a couple of players that, you know, you just assume we're going to just slot one home, you know, missed. And the goal they gave up was a set piece, I believe, midway through the first half. And, you know, it was, you know, I always thought that, well, they're definitely going to come back, and they just didn't get a goal. But, you know, I think the team that they lost to wound up winning the whole thing. So I'm like, I'm gauging it as like, they should have beat that team, and that team won it. So
yeah,
what does that tell you? Like, that's, you know, we're probably got the best team in the WPSL in our division. Well, that's okay. You know, it doesn't mean anything in 2023. It meant something in 2022. Everybody is 0-0. And, you know, if we get something out of that, then great.
So let's talk about, you know, what is meaningful for 2023. What, you know, if let's say we finish the summer and, you know, now it's mid-July and you're reflecting, you know, what would you say made a successful season?
Well, I would say that if I'm reflecting back on 2023, that I'm hopeful that I can say that we played our best matches. Like, we gave 100% every time out the gate. Like, from the opening whistle to the closing three, that we gave all, you know, the coaching staff, the players, and the results should take care of themselves. We shouldn't be, I don't think we should be chasing results. I think we should be working and striving for playing our best ball, and the results will come to us.
I like it. So we've only seen, I think officially, what, 8 announced players right now on the roster. And you said, you know, there's like somewhere like in the range of around 27, 28.
That's correct.
What can we expect from these ladies? Do you have any pleasant surprises for us? Or, you know, I'm just hoping they're really excited about coming to play for us, that they, you know, right, they've heard about what we do and what we believe in, and maybe they're excited about the fan support.
Right. And I think we're, you know, the biggest difference for 2023, as far as like a playing, you know, the play and what you're going to see, is the midfield is going to be a lot better. I mean, I think our back line stood up very well. And I think from goalkeeping and mm-hmm. back line, you know, because we were playing defense, you know, 80% of the time, you know, mm-hmm. and so where we were, I think, just deficient, and every, you know, anybody that knows the game and can see the scores can say, well, you know, you guys didn't score any goals, you know, in some of these games. And that's true. And so we have to be better in midfield to supply those players that I know can finish. Mm-hmm. And I think we've got that. I think there's some dynamic central midfielders, some players that have played at high levels that are going to come in, and I already know how some of them work. And then I've got word from people I trust about this player. You don't have to worry about her. She's, you know, she's going to give you everything she's got, and she's going to succeed. And, you know, there are some that have not been signed yet or not been announced yet. that, you know, I can't go into details because they're, you know, they're international and we're waiting on ITC, you know, like the clearance house, you know, and but one of them, I will say, I can say this because no one knows names other than me and maybe one other person that's on the staff, but one of them has a tryout with Houston Dash and has an opportunity to play in Serie A. And she wants to come to Chattanooga to get herself ready for that.
I love hearing that.
All right. That'll wet your whistle every time.
Yeah. Okay. And so high quality, you know, and when I think of those girls from Nashville and kind of like how they were kind of joking on us a little bit and some of the, you know, doing rainbows over us and stuff. And I'm like, it wasn't necessary. It's fun for the fans and everything, but I mean, it was a bit irritating to see that and knowing that, okay, you know what, let's try that this year and see where you go. You know,
see, this is what I love about you, Coach Nuggets, is I know you're sitting here telling me this and you know me and you know how well that would have sat with me in college if a team would have done that to us. And it's humiliating, and to have another shot at them. And that's kind of how I feel. That set the tone for me last year with Nashville and why I'm so like, I'm ready. I'm ready to have this match because I know it's win, lose or draw. They're going to know they've been in a fight. And that's what I'm excited about.
Yeah. And I mean, I can't focus on like being mad or anything like that. We just have to get focused on getting the right players in the right places and then letting them play the game, you know, and letting them express themselves out on the field, because that's what Nashville did. That's exactly what they did. They expressed themselves on the field, and it was, if you're a casual observer and you don't have a rooting interest in the game, it was fun to watch, but you know, when they're doing it to you, that's no fun.
Zero fun.
Well, this year when we're up 2-0 in the 85th minute, maybe Anna could just leave a little extra on the
we might do something. I don't know what. But.
just a little bit of like, here you go. Remember me? One of those. Yeah.
Yeah, Coach. You know, we as fans, we love to like toot our own horns a little bit. Did any of the players did they cite you know, talking about the fan support, that they had heard anything specifically, or you know, they had seen and they were excited to come play in front of fans?
Well, I think once they saw the videos, like a lot of them, I would send the video clip from the home opener. On YouTube, and in it, and they saw that, and it didn't necessarily mean they were all in at the time, but they were amazed at what they saw, and how professional that operation is, and even though no one's getting paid on the women's side right now, I mean, it is a professionally run operation. And when you have that type of support in that kind of facility, I can't imagine not wanting to come, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I got to think as a college player, you know, there's probably nights at some of these schools or games at some of these schools where you're playing in front of, you know, a handful of people, not making a lot of noise, and the prospect of doing it and, you know, in front of, you know, maybe 1,000 people is definitely a different prospect and something that's exciting.
And not just 1,000 people, but 1,000 crazy people like us with drums and giant flags and yelling. And
well, my hope is that there's a buzz that's created that 1,000 becomes 2,000.
Yeah. Well, we do. No. We do too. We do too. I mean, I'd love for that, and then for that two to become three. So I think that's what everybody wants. We want to see the same level of support for the women that we give the men, because they're out there giving their all and representing the crest as well. So I'm really excited. I mean, I don't know just to see the team again. I told you before we started recording, you know, last year, it didn't, not to say that wins and losses didn't matter, but they almost didn't matter last year. I mean, it was the fact that we had a group of women who wanted to be here, who wanted to give everything they had, was just, it meant everything to us. And so I guess I'll speak for all the fans here, but it meant a lot to me. And I am really, really excited, just based on the players that we've seen so far, what I hear you talking about in terms of, what we have, what the players that have already committed, and just here, you know, hearing kind of the confidence in your voice, I can't wait. I can't wait for the home opener. And I don't know what you're most excited about for this season, but I'm just excited to go out there and kick a ball and see the women fight and have CFC come out on the winning end.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of smiles and a lot of good times in the stands. You know, during and after matches. You know, I know we didn't do well as far as the standings go last year, but you know, no one. And again, it was our first year back and everybody was so kind, you know, and you know, there should be more expectations this year. I have more expectations. So I would assume everyone that's got a rooting interest in this have expectations that will be better. And that's what we're doing. But if last season was any indication that, you know, how much they love seeing us get a win at home. And if we can do that like three more times, I just think it's going to be a fun summer.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm pumped. Oh, you know, we didn't ask, you know, we've talked a little bit about changes in players. Is there any change in staff, for that you want to talk about?
Well, I mean, I think everyone should know this, but if they don't, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag here. But Juan Hernandez is going to be assisting.
Oh, who's that? Who's that? Do we know?
Yeah, you know, he's a former player.
A former player. Okay.
Yeah, and you know, he wore number 10.
Oh, with, okay.
EFC. You know, he scored some really nice goals.
Yeah.
Nice set pieces, and yeah. You know. But no, I mean, it's having someone like that. He was around a little bit last year, and I picked his brain a little bit. But now it's like, yeah, this is good. We've got a good resource here.
You think there's going to be any preferential treatment for some of the forwards? I'm just wondering.
You know, it will be kind of fun for me to see how that dynamic works out. You know, yeah. You know, because I don't have any history there, and I obviously I'm not going home with either one of them, but I mean, I can't imagine, you know, if they do happen to have a difference of opinion, what that's going to look like.
As a married man myself, one word of advice to Juan, tread lightly.
Yeah.
Well, coach, the first time that you feel like Summer needs to be subbed, make Juan go tell the fourth official.
100%. Yeah,
I'll probably do
that. Yeah, and make sure Summer knows that it was Juan's decision that she needs to come out and take a rest.
Yeah, that.
We'll see if he yells out "Cambio."
Well, I'm sure
Juan will be. You'll know it's Juan because he'll be screaming "Cambio, Cambio."
Well, hey, we're really excited. Anything else, Coach, that you want to cover and talk about that we haven't talked about so far?
Yeah, I think, you know, we can talk briefly about, you know, some of the returning players.
Oh, yeah,
know,
great, because, yeah.
You know, we didn't, you know, I contacted everybody that played, like, I would say major roles last year on the team just to see if they were interested. And, you know, there's some that got back with me and said, hey, coach, thank you. It was a great experience, but I'm going to be playing with a different team, blah, 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 which was fine. But I think Caroline Johnson is coming back, and that was, you know, one of our better players. Obviously Anna will be back, in the, you know, we assume that she's going to play in the back, and Avery Catlett, center back from UTC, is going to be back and playing a role for us. And I think I mentioned Kaylee Burrell,
yep.
that, you know, scored a couple of nice goals at North Alabama that kind of helped us last year. She'll be back. And, you know, there's just Anna Silva and Brianna Hurtado. And let me think if there's anyone else.
Brianna really surprised me last year because she started the season, you know, on the bench. And by the end of the season, she was getting like major playing time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think with her and Anna too, you know, when we got into playoffs, I think they had worked themselves in my mind to like, hey, let's give them a shot outside. And I think the third time we played Knoxville, and that was that playoff game that, you know, just, you know, we had a couple games late in the season that had original start times of like 7 o'clock, and we wound up kicking off around 9:30 or something like that. And that was one of them. I think when we finally got that game kicked off, I didn't recognize a lot of those Knoxville players. Like they were on the roster, I suppose, but they were saving a few of them for like, you know, playoffs or whatever, because, you know, I'm hearing, well, that girl starts for UT and that girl starts for UT. And I'm like, well, I don't remember seeing them last time out. So
yeah.
And I think, you know, those first two goals that we gave up in the early going of that playoff game, I just, you know, I took Brianna and Anna off. I said, hey, you know what? You guys did well. It's just a little bit too much for you right now. And I said, you're part of our future. And I said, you're not done tonight. It's just that, you know, we probably need to get someone else out there tonight just to kind of help us, you know, with the athleticism and the speed that they've got. And but I'm excited about both of them, you know, having a return. And
we've got three international, Grace Barker Roberts. And
yeah, I mean, she's coming in, she's an English player, mm-hmm. center back. She's going to be playing at Middle Georgia State, which is in our conference now. And I talked to the coach about, you know, his thoughts about her, where she was going to be for him. And he assured me that she was going to be starting for Middle Georgia at center back, and that I'm not going to be regretting that decision to bring her on. So
yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing what she can do. Nadia, I'm very familiar with from Ukraine national team. She, you know, her college career started at Southeast Missouri before she moved on to Truett McConnell. And then we've got another dynamic attacking center mid, you know, coming from University of Louisiana Monroe, that's from Germany and played in the, you know, the youth national team there. Mm-hmm. And I mean that's going to be a nice addition to this team.
Right. Oh, yeah. It's kind of crazy to think about just last year, kind of doing what we can to scrape together a team. And, you know, 1 year later, we're talking about, you know, players that played for their youth national team and, you know, players that are, you know, holding down starting jobs at successful programs. It's quite a change. But also the touchstone back to last year, right, is bringing some of those players forward. And like we said, transplanting the heart of last year's team into this new team and continuing on.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to get momentum, you know, we've got to turn that wheel and put the work in while it's still new. And by that, I mean, like, you know, we all got to push and we've got to make this thing, you know, turn and eventually that momentum is going to start swinging in our favor. That all we have to do is manage it, you know, and the players will be coming to us. It's already starting to happen a little bit, but I feel like if we can just, you know, this year and maybe next year have these, you know, these just gritty, hardworking, talented players come in that start setting, you know, the standard and the, you know, raising the bar and the level that, you know, now we're talking about, this is the destination, you know, for WPSL in the Southeast. It's no longer, you know, looking at Nashville, Knoxville, Birmingham, that Chattanooga is where you want to be.
I definitely see that's the way things are going. So, I mean, like I said, Nashville, they've already been put on alert. So there you go.
Well, hey, Coach, thanks so much for spending some time with us and with a little looking ahead towards the beginning of the women's season. You know, we're right in the early part of the men's season, but that summer, you know, that summer schedule will be here before you know it. And, you know, I cannot wait to go out and support you and support the women as they fight for hopefully what is a first of many conference titles. Let's just, you know, let's go out and.
Yeah, let's try to make that happen. Yeah. I mean, I think that should be our goal.
Yeah.
You know, and we're in that until we're not, you know, so we might as well play for it.
So, we didn't warn you about this. So I'm going to, we normally end with what's making you happy this week, on the show. So I'm going to go around and ask everybody, about what's making, and I'll give you an opportunity to share something. It doesn't have to be soccer related. It doesn't have to be, it could be anything you want that's kind of making you happy. So we'll start with Todd. Todd, what's making you happy this week?
I'll tell you what's making me happy is, once again, you know, being involved with soccer scene here in Dalton and following these teams in the playoffs and getting to interview these kids on a weekly basis and understanding like what the community means to them. Seemingly a terrible thing happened. Dalton Academy got really beat really bad by Atlanta International earlier this week. But a kid messaged me and it was the most sincere message he could have sent me. And it basically was like, I'm terribly sorry that we've let our community down, but we just want you to know like how much we appreciate the support and the love it's given. It really just like, I don't know. It was one of those things. It was really heartfelt and touching coming from a kid in a very kind of, you know, sensitive moment after losing a huge game like that. And just seeing how much the sport and the community meant to him and how those are interwound with one another. It was just really, really cool.
That is so sweet.
Yeah. Shabby, what's making you happy this week?
So a couple things. One thing that really made me happy this week, actually just yesterday, my daughter turned 16. So we had her sweet awesome. 16. And that was a pretty big moment for the family. But the other thing, and this is one of those that anybody with a child can appreciate, my son has been counting down the days until the Super Mario Brothers movie came out. And so I finally got to take him, and it was just pure joy. He spent the whole 2 hours just in pure joy. Like every little thing that came up, he was jumping in his seat and was so excited. And it's really hard to not be happy when you're, you know, in the presence of someone that is that happy. So, awesome. You know, that was my stuff. That was my moment this week.
So, Coach, do you have anything that's making you happy this week?
Yeah, I mean, just last night I had another commitment for this coming August for my point team, and it's, you know, it's a good player, and you know, you always get excited when you get someone new coming in, and then also, you know, my assistant that I had at point. And at CFC last year that played a little bit, Jasmine Marquez, is headed back to Savannah and it's going to start teaching. So, you know, we're in the market for a new assistant. And I had, one come in yesterday. Well, she actually came in on Tuesday night, flew in and she knocked the, interviews, out of the park with everybody and, had a great rapport with the team. And they responded well to her. And I'm cautiously optimistic right now that she'll accept our offer and come down. So
that's awesome.
Always a good feeling. Yep. It's always a good feeling.
And, you know, who knows? She may wind up in Chattanooga one of these days.
That's great. Well, so, Coach, I'll just tell you that these two that have been on the show with me have harassed me the last couple of weeks about not having Apple TV. So there's a particular show related to soccer that I haven't watched. I hadn't watched a single episode of.
Oh, here we go. It's happening.
So I know this will make Todd happy this week. So I watched the first season of Ted Lasso.
Okay. So Jim, I'm with you. I have not seen it. I'm very well aware of it.
Yeah.
But I have not watched the episode, but I'm wanting to.
Yeah.
And so I think that's going to be something that I'm going to do this summer when I'm in Chattanooga, when I'm there, you know, in the evenings, especially by myself, that and I can like, hey, start binge on series one and see how far I get, you know?
Yep. Yeah. So I hijacked my son's Apple account.
I've never been more proud of you in my life.
So, yeah. Well, guys, that's it for this week. Hey, Coach, thanks so much for being on. We're really excited about it. And for everybody else, you know, remember we got a game on Saturday, CFC men versus Flower City, Flower City Union. That was Pulse Flower. Whoever they are, Salt Flower. I don't know what they are, but hopefully it's going to be a nice 3-0 win for CFC. So hopefully we'll see you out in the stadium. Until then, y'all, go CFC.
Go Blues.
Off the other side of the crossbar. Tries to chip. Oh, Mr. Oliveira, what a cheeky goal.